we kicked this all off about 3 weeks ago talking to Jackson College President Dr. Dan Phelan, and Dan is back here today to give us an update on what's going on at Jackson College. Good morning, Dan. What's the latest?
Good morning, Greg. Good to hear your voice. Hope you and your family had a happy Easter.
And I hope you did also. Spring registration underway, Dan?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we have, together with our team in student services, admissions, and marketing, we've been putting together quite a few options, Greg, for our students. We recognize that we want to be flexible and accommodate many requests out there, so we have put together a wide variety of 7-week and 5-week courses. In fact, we just started a term last week for 5 weeks, so we're really trying to be as flexible as we can and meet the needs of students in a variety of ways and technologies. We're currently taking registration for our spring-summer semester, so that opened up again, and we're taking students right now. We actually have our semester begin on May 18th, so that will be running from May 18th until August 10th, so we're excited about getting the students in those courses and as well as the other short-term courses and offerings that we have. We're pretty excited about being able to be flexible enough to respond to the variety of needs that are out there right now for our students.
Are you working on plans of getting the students back on campus? That eventually will happen, Dan. I don't know how quickly. Nobody does, I guess.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's one we've been grappling with, as well as many of my colleagues across the state and the country, for sure. We are looking at a variety of scenarios. The principal scenario that we're working with, Greg, assumes that we're going to have some level of physical distancing going forward, that eventually over time that we'll be allowed to come back into workspaces and instructional spaces, but that it would be still having requirements of physical distancing and some kind of personal protection, some kind of a mask or some kind of cleanliness requirements for the room. So that's our assumption as we're going forward in our dominant model. Having said that, we're thinking differently about how that happens. So even as we're thinking about students who are preparing to graduate, we're thinking, how does that happen? We're not going to have commencement on our schedule as we had planned. I suspect at the time that we're allowed to be able to have commencement exercises that it will be very expanded. So in the past, we've had one or two commencement exercises, depending upon the number of students and how large their family is that is joining them. I would anticipate that we may have commencement exercises that may number in the 6 to 8 range. As we think about taking Sheffer Music Hall and actually having individuals spread out maybe 6 or 10 feet apart. So just because of that physical distancing may require us to have multiple commencement exercises. In terms of student housing, for example, we're thinking that we have in most of our buildings, we have 4-bedroom suite options. So these are 4 bedrooms that share a common kitchen and also kitchen facilities and living areas. So that's the general format in our 3 facilities, and so we're contemplating that we would only have 2 rather than 4 in each of these suites. So physical distancing there again, and thinking that that's going to take us down to about 50% of our operating capacity in housing alone. In the classrooms, that's an entirely different deal. Of course, we have larger lecture halls that are capable of holding 75 or 80 students. That will be a little bit easier, but our traditional size classroom is in the 30 to 35 range. So if we have to keep that physical distancing, there will still be a few number of people in that classroom, which is important, but it will be fewer for the faculty member and the interaction that we have. Laboratory space is going to be a little bit different. Of course, these are chemistry labs, hard sciences, even in the nursing and allied health area, a lot of simulation space. So how that happens is going to be a little bit dependent upon physical distancing requirements, but also any laws that are out there, any guidance that we get from CDC or the county departments of health. But the same kind of thing, I imagine, because you're close in working with a high-fidelity mannequin, and in the case of nursing or allied health or even in dentistry, you know, we've got these head mannequins of sorts that are side-by-side, and these stations for our dental students that are side-by-side. So we're thinking about how does that become a physical distancing option. And then even in the workplace, Greg, we're thinking about how our employees, for those that might have close proximity to someone else, have already started talking with their facilities team about how we separate or we provide some kind of vertical separation between them, or moving desks, or actually spreading people out. So our dominant model is that even though the numbers are promising that we see in New York and certainly in the state of Michigan, and we're excited about that. It's a great blessing, I think, for all of us. But we are mindful that it's not going to be a flip of the switch and suddenly we go back to the way that we were. I think that there'll be a new kind of protocol for interacting. I was reading one report that the idea of the handshake going forward is done, though we've got to think of some new way to greet one another when we see each other, or at least have rubber gloves on, perhaps. But we're thinking about how that happens, yeah. And we maintain physical distancing in a time where we are allowed to go back and have educational experiences, but we still have to be conscious of life and safety issues and physical distancing.
Yeah, you wonder, Dan, if we ever get back to the way it was. I remember the lecture halls back in the day when I was there, they were packed. As you said, 75, 80 kids. Of course, my favorite was biology.
I bet it was. Yes, I really think that there'll be a lot of changes overall. I was reading an article that was in the New York Times over the weekend, and another video that I was watching on TED Talks from a really bright guy and a world economist, and he was talking in terms of a new world order, and he was talking about the big changes that occurred in 30 to 1945, and the idea of economics, the idea of cash, the idea of interaction or focus was completely different. Of course, we've had some significant changes over the course of our history. The Great Depression, some are suggesting that we are quite literally, economically speaking, in a depression right now. You know, how do we reframe the idea of what is a community college? How does that happen? What is the business model of a community college when there's a lot of physical distancing, when parents are still concerned, even though, for example, that we're allowed to go back, that there may be some parents who say, well, I don't want you going back to class because I'm still concerned about your health and safety, as they should be. So how do we create an environment where learning can occur, where there's an exchange of ideas, but in a less dense way than we have? The density for classes that we've had in the past, those days are over for some time into the future. And I certainly believe that the density for how we lay out our employees and we invite people to campus, thinking even about events we hold in Sheffer Music Hall and thinking about, that place holds 1,500 people. So when we have an event in the future, what does that look like in a physical distancing requirement? And so we'll have, we'll still have events at some point. And I know Cindy Allen has continued to postpone lots of events. We don't have anything coming up for well into the fall, but at some point we're going to try to bring some of these things back and have some semblance of normalcy. But I think that there'll be a new America that emerges from this challenge that we've had. I think it can't help but change how businesses operate, and that includes higher education.
Yeah, and it looks like Dan, everybody will get hit economically. What about Jackson College economically?
Excellent question, Greg. I'm already hearing, and of course I'm in pretty regular contact with lots of colleagues and association leadership and governor's offices and federal offices as well, but it's already happening now. Of course, we're not only seeing declines in enrollment for the current semester and future semesters, but also, of course, we operate on local property taxes, tuition, and state aid, and already we're hearing discussions about reductions in state aid. And so we're concerned about what impact that might be. I love the oxymoron of it. They call it a negative appropriation. So what the legislature giveth, the legislature can taketh away. So we're already running financial models on what that looks like and how we're going to be able to work through that. Some good news, though, that we are successful in being part of a stimulus package for the federal government. And so we're looking to see some revenues coming to our institution probably in the next a few weeks and months, and that will help a little bit, but it stops way short of being able to respond to the significant changes we've had financially for our institution. and of course some of the additional burdens that students have had to take on as a result. To the degree that we could help students move to an online environment, we've done that, and we continue to, through our foundation, Jason Valente, the president of our foundation, continues to work with us and try to find resources that we can help students out financially and in terms of emergencies, and help them out with ways that they can continue to get their education in a timely fashion, and making sure that our focus on high-end quality for instruction continues to happen. So just lots of changes that are happening. We're mindful of what the economy is doing, and it's going to take some time for our economy to get back to where it was. I think some of the latest literature I've been reading talks about an economy that's going to take, you know, three years at least to get to the levels that we've had in the past. So thinking long term for Jackson College means that we have to think differently about our business model and our economic models, and that's going to require some changes in how we do business.
Yeah, it makes it almost impossible, doesn't it, Dan, to do any planning? And I know you like to work ahead.
Yes, you've heard that about me. We're engaged in quite a bit of scenario planning. I tell you that I have one of the best leadership teams I've ever known. These men and women who work with me collaboratively, and indeed the whole of our college, all of my colleagues at the college, just working very hard to figure things out. And together, we make better decisions than a single person. And so I really appreciate the ideation, the creativity, the innovation that our people bring forward. But it's really different, and the only way that we know how to do this work is look at multiple scenarios, kind of project out into the future what those options look like, and be ready to go. It's a level of preparedness that I think we have to have in multiple scenarios. And these scenarios include significant change in economic conditions, technology. I will tell you, Greg, that and part of our planning is that not only will our current scenario is that winter semester right now is going on in an online format. We're already planning that this semester that will start in May 18th is entirely online, and we're also planning that the entire fall semester, running clear out to December, is going to be online. That's just the way that we're working. We have to have a plan, and so we're planning for those kinds of scenarios. And then if we do get an authorization as laws and the virus allows that we can start coming back, we can add other elements in there. But our plan going forward indefinitely is that we're going to be providing education, instruction, and support, and student support services in an online environment.
Dan, real quick, and we'll let you go. What about high school seniors? They're out there on the loose right now. Would this be an opportunity for them to get started early?
Well, we believe it is, Greg. You know, we have been working with the Jackson County superintendents. I really appreciate the good work of Jeff Beal, who's kind of the leader of the Jackson County Early College we had, and Kevin Oxley. Have been great to work with all the superintendents. So having an option for students for grades 9 through 13, we call it, would allow high school individuals to be able to simultaneously get college credit and high school credit for these dual-enrolled courses. We have quite a few students who are participating in that program already. So to the degree that there are not enough options for them at their local school, or they're interested in getting a lot of significant gain in terms of accessing and adding additional college credit to their portfolio before they transfer or they complete the associate's degree with us, they can do it through dual enrollment. So we're grateful that we had that set up ahead of time, and my hat's off to all the county superintendents who have helped us to put Jackson County Early College in place and provide this kind of an option at this point in time, particularly for high school students.
Dr. Dan Phelan from Jackson College. Dan, appreciate the visit. As always, stay safe out there. We'll be in touch.
You stay safe as well, Greg. Thanks for talking to me this morning.
Take care.